on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome to the Mostly Potted at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 164. Yes, that's 164 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. The first of the Dead trilogy films are widely accepted as the best zombie movies ever made. And now we come to the second half of the Of the Dead series, and it is not so well received.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, appearing shortly after the zombie apocalypse floated into the mainstream, Romero heavily leaned into his cult stardom and started making changes to his winning formula. So join us for the aftermath. Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know when the zombie thing blew up, but I know it was before this movie.
I would say that Dawn of the Dead kickstarted it heavily again.
The remake?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that's what prompted Romero going, hey, I should touch this again.
Yeah, but I just, you know, because the original trilogy had been out for a while and I loved it, but it was not like must watch horror movies.
Right.
And then at some point in either the late 90s or the early 2000s, it just like blew up. And it was like zombie everything. It was like zombie fucking toys and, you know, like zombie haiku books. I mean, it was like everything like blew up and it was like zombie shit was everywhere. And like, you know, there was like zombie pub crawls and like all kinds of shit. It just like was everywhere. And this movie came out like during that. So I think a lot of people liked this movie simply because, oh, it's Romero zombie movie. And they just kind of like went with that flow. And I think a lot of us OG enjoyers of those movies kind of got left behind, I think.
Well, I'd say the success of Shaun of the Dead and then Dawn of the Dead really did. Because, I mean, obviously The Simpsons, which is a powerhouse thing, made fun of Night of the Living Dead and zombies in their Treehouse of Horror. So that might have been the big kick in the 90s.
Yeah, but it was like a lot of things, you know, like, I mean, The Walking Dead, the comic was in the early 2000s. I mean, the show eventually came in. I think the show was after Land of the Dead, though.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was just like, yeah, everything just kind of like, you know, all points of light pointing inward to the zombie fucking craze. And then this came out during the height of it, which. I think it's died down now. I think The Walking Dead beat it like enough times where it stopped.
Oh,
it's still kind of around, but it's nowhere near that fever pitch it was.
Correct. And now it's relegated to indie horrors doing nothing but Of the Deads now.
Yeah. That's fine. Again, things went crazy all over the place with the whole brains thing, which is not Romero at all.
Nope.
Not in any of his films. Even in these movies, he did not lean into that brains thing.
Right.
Thankfully. But a lot of people still do that. But it's like, if you were a real zombie fan, you wouldn't say that.
No Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, like The Walking Dead, both the comic and the show, all the Romero movies, like these are like foundational zombie things and there's no brains at all in them. And yet so many people just say brains. Haha, that's funny, right? I know zombies. Like, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm. very wasteful. Zombies just eat the brains.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, so I'm done ranting for now. I will rant more, most likely, when we're discussing this film here, but I'm going to try to get through the recap here, and then I'll rant again afterwards. So our time traveling back to 2005 for Land of the Dead. Now the film opens up with a guy who's, I guess, presumably a scout that we don't know for who at this point. And he's watching a group of zombies, kind of, you know, we're going into the, you know, the Day of the Dead, like, you know, the zombies are just kind of doing their instinctual things, you know. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about, you know, though they're doing some instinctual things in the first two, you know, like using like basic weapons, or like understanding that a gun is dangerous but not knowing how to use it and just holding it, you know what I mean, stuff like that. It's like there's instinctual things in their brain that they're kind of going into, or like them walking around in the mall, like instinctual things, they don't know why they're doing it. And this right. one, we kind of watch that occurring, kind of like a heightened version of that, because like every zombie is doing something wacky. There's like the butcher zombie walking around with the cleaver, there's like, you know, boyfriend girlfriend zombie like holding hands walking up and down the street. You know, like one of the zombies steps on the ding ding thing for the gas station, and the one guy comes out, you know, to grabs the gas nozzle and is confused when there's no car there. You know, like kind of leaning heavily into that.
Well, even a zombie band, it plays right.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's like everybody's, you know, every zombie has their own little thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically at this point, we see that Big Daddy, who is the big guy who comes out to pump gas, has somehow reached a level of intelligence where he can somehow call out and partially control, or at least corral, the other zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens. They kind of witness that happening, but they're like, yeah, whatever, we got, we're getting supplies, we're getting out of here. So, you know, they're getting supplies. As soon as the zombies start coming, they leave. Now we have John Leguizamo is like supposed to be the second in charge of the supply run, but he kind of goes off to like get some liquor and cigars and shit.
Yeah, his high-end liquor is a box of wine.
Right. Well, it's like a box of champagne, but like if you could buy champagne in a box like that, it's shit.
Yeah.
He gets champagne and cigars, and like one of the dude on his crew dies as a result of it. So the leader, the scout we saw in the beginning, is, you know, pissed, like, dude, what the hell, like, you went off to go do, you know, get shit to sell or get shit for yourself, and like this guy died as a result of it. Like, he's like, ah, whatever, I'm retiring after this. And he's like, well, I'm retiring. You know, they're both pointing fingers at each other, but whatever. So they all go back. And that's where we're introduced to Fiddler's Green, which mm-hmm. is a giant high rise filled with penthouses and shops and restaurants and all kinds of things that all rich people could want and need is in this one skyscraper. And they're somehow still living a rich lifestyle. Yes. Now this is years after.
This is continuing
right
from the Romero thing. So I'm saying essentially 37 years of zombies.
Right. So in 37 years, they still somehow have all the stuff for rich people to live. Like, they're still like dressing nice. Mm-hmm. They're still like going out to dinner. They still have like no idea how to deal with actual zombies because they've never had to go outside.
Right.
And there's like, you know, and their little skyscrapers locked down. And then there's like a city of people around that. Mm-hmm. That's all like your lesser people. Right. And of course, those are the people that have to go on the supply runs. Those are the people that, you know, they make do manual labor jobs and all that kind of shit, you know, guard, you know, jobs and shit like that. And that's all these other people. And they really don't have access to that at all. They just kind of get the scraps.
Right.
You know, so like they're going out and getting food and stuff and bringing it back. And the poor people food goes to them, and all the good stuff goes to the Fiddler's Green. I mean, there's kind of a long story here. Basically, the one head guy is going to quit. Like, he supposedly bought a car that was getting fixed up, and he was going to go north and just get away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And he has this guy that's kind of like, I don't know, what do you call it? Like an idiot savant, right? But he's like really a savant at shooting, right? Yep. He's an awesome shot, but he's kind of dumb.
Yep.
And he's like all burned up, and the guy had, the head scout had saved him from the fire. So now he like feels like he owes him a life debt or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like buddies and they're going to leave together. Anyway, so John Leguizamo brings the champagne and the cigars to like the leader of Fiddler's Green, who is Dennis Hopper. And he's like, oh yeah, like, you know, with the money that you gave me from the job last night, because apparently he's been like killing people or doing these dirty jobs for the head of Fiddler's Green. And he keeps promising him all this money, like, oh yeah, I'll give you all this money, but I'm going to keep it in the bank for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, oh, with all that money that I got, you know, saved up from all the jobs I've done for you, I now have enough to buy one of these penthouses and live with you. And he's kind of like, no, like that's not going to happen. Like, you know, like, I'm not giving you that money. That money is in the bank. Like, that money is not coming out of the bank. And he manages to get his security to wrangle him out of the Fiddler's Green.
Mm-hmm.
So John Leguizamo, you know, gets mad, and he ends up taking like their battle train called like Dead Reckoning, which is like, I don't know, it's like a super RV with like a tractor trailer, and it's got like all kinds of guns and missiles and shit on it.
And it's able to fire, you know, sky flowers.
Yeah, which are like fireworks. Somehow the zombies are like, that would stare at the fireworks. I don't mm-hmm. understand why that does that, but yes, that is a thing. So he steals that big truck and then they leave. And while this is happening in the background, Big Daddy, because he was upset that these guys came in, took stuff, and killed some of his zombie friends, he looks in the distance and sees lights on in the big skyscraper and decides that he's going to grab all of his zombie friends and just march on this tower.
Yep.
And so throughout the film, like until the end, we see like cuts to him, like, you know, gathering more zombies, like getting through fences, getting through stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, eventually like Big Daddy gets a gun that he instinctually knows how to use. He really doesn't use it effectively, but at least he's like, you know, put it over his shoulder and he's like shooting it randomly. And a lot of comments are made that, oh, they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, I guess they were zombies for long enough and they're somehow learning how to live again. They're learning how to think on their own again. Which we will talk about later.
Yeah, we will.
So, you know, they're kind of making their way there. John Leguizamo takes the big truck and basically says, I have missiles in this truck that could blow up your whole tower. If you don't give me, you know, however many millions of dollars by, you know, midnight, which is like 2 hours away, I'm going to blow up the tower.
Mm-hmm.
So like everybody kind of freaks out. You know, Dennis Hopper is like, oh, I'm going to take all this money and I'm going to leave. but anyway, before he does that, he hires the old scout who, again, lost his car. The car that he had bought that he was going to go north with is gone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what happened. So he teams up with his buddy with the burn scars and this girl that he saved from like a fighting pit. And they're going to, together, they get hired by Dennis Hopper to go get this truck back, because apparently he invented this truck and built this truck.
For like $2 million, yeah.
Right. So he's going to go get the truck back, and he has to get it back by midnight, and if he does, then he's going to get the car back and whatever he needs to make it north.
Yep.
So he goes out there, and of course, he immediately knows where they're going to go. He's like, oh, well, this, you know, place over here is the best shot to shoot missiles from. So that's where they're going to go. So they get a couple of soldiers from the Fiddler's Green that end up that go with them. I don't know, like Bullfighter. I don't know. Mean Girl. and Pillsbury. He was like a giant Samoan dude.
Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah. So they all go to this place to wait. For John Leguizamo, and of course they show up. And he tries to like talk through to them, and like it kind of works and it kind of doesn't work. They end up like shooting each other, but John Leguizamo survives, and like the crew of the truck mostly survive. But like Mean Girl and like the guys that are like loyal to John Leguizamo mostly die. Like, I think only one of them, the guy with the mustache, makes it out.
Oh, and Argento's daughter.
Well, yeah, but she's not one of them. She's with the scout dude.
Yeah.
So they stop the missile launch and they jump back in the truck and they're trying to head back. And as they head back, they see that Big Daddy and his zombie army have essentially knocked down the fences and taken over the city. And
right. Like, they even walked underwater through the river that's surrounding the city, because all the bridges are essentially closed. They have river on three sides and they just have a fence for the last spot.
Right. Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. After 37 years, they have a chain link fence.
We'll get to that fence.
So, you know, by the time they get back with the truck, like, everything's destroyed. So we get there, they shoot the missiles to kill all the zombies. And then they realize, oh, there's people that are still alive. You know, we saved a bunch of people. A lot of people died, but we also saved a bunch of people. And now they get to take Fiddler's Green for their own, because the zombies have all taken Fiddler's Green and mostly killed and eaten all of the rich people.
Well, yeah, the rich people, the rest of the rich people were trying to escape, and they were not doing well.
they were trying to escape after they broke through the front door. They didn't think it was going to happen, but it does.
Right.
So John Leguizamo, he's injured, but he goes back to fight Dennis Hopper. And then Dennis Hopper, like, literally takes like bags of money and is trying to get his like chauffeur to like drive him away. And Big Daddy finds him. I don't know why he's got a beef against him, but he does. And he like fills up his car full of gas and then like blows it up, and he survives that. But Big Daddy leaves, and then John Leguizamo and him have a fight. And then, oh, John Leguizamo was a zombie, but he somehow still knew that he had to kill Dennis Hopper, and they fight and die.
Yep.
And then, you know, happily ever after, like, everybody that survives jumps in the big truck and leaves to go north. And then everybody else, you know, stays in the city and lives.
Yep.
But it's now their city. All the rich people are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And Big Daddy is still alive out there.
Yeah, Big Daddy has made his point and goes back to his gas station.
Yep. Dean. Now, I assume that you saw this probably damn near close when it came out.
Yeah. I didn't see it in the theater. I don't remember. I don't think. I didn't see it in theater. I know that. I don't know why. But yeah, I saw it not long after it came out. I think I got it on Netflix back when you could get discs in the mail. And I watched it, and I was kind of stunned the first time I watched it. Like, what is this? Like, what the fuck is this? And I had to watch it again. Like, it was like one of those movies. I had to watch it the next day again to like make sure I understood it. And I was just like, again, lost. I was like, this is George Romero.
Yep.
Like, what happened? You know? I mean, I understand it's been, you know, 20 years since Day of the Dead, but like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it in theaters just because I really enjoyed, you know, the classics, right? I love Shaun of the Dead. I really enjoyed Zack Snyder's remake of Dawn of the Dead. I'm like, oh, now Romero's back to the zombie genre. I'd love to see what he does with it and how he progresses it. And we got this shit.
Right. And that's like, again, it really feels like, you know, he was like, you know, drinking his own Kool-Aid about how great he was. And just like, I don't know, went off on like a fucking tangent, like breaking all of his own rules for how zombies operate and what's happening. And, you know, like, I guess we'll get into it. I just want to make a point first is that, I mean, like, Night of the Living Dead, not really so much. But like Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, there was a very much a kind of a class warfare thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was like the people in power and the people that they were like controlling and trying to fight back, right?
Yeah.
But they were always like understood, like this is the apocalypse, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Money doesn't matter.
Correct.
Like literally in Dawn of the Dead, they like find money. They just like throw it all over the place because there's no use for it.
Yep.
What are you going to use it for? And then the thing that just pisses me off is in this film, they act like money means something. Like yep. This is 37 years. Like what could you buy with money? Like the people in the city down below don't need money. They need fucking food.
Right.
They need ammo. Like barter should be how with and every other zombie apocalypse, including his own movies before this, understood that it's an apocalypse. Money doesn't mean anything. You're going to be trading in goods. You're going to be hoarding stuff to keep you alive.
And services, this
movie,
yeah.
And this movie somehow it throws it all out the window. Throws it all out the window of what zombies are, what they're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like how a zombie that's been rotting for 37 years can somehow learn again. That doesn't make sense. I mean, the instinctual thing I get, you know, that's been around since the beginning, you know, and again, I made a point to discuss mm-hmm. and the last one, like he was capitalizing on the instincts. He was presenting, like the doctor was presenting Bub with things to get a reaction out of him. And then he was getting a reward for doing it.
Right.
Right. He wasn't learning anything. He was just literally reacting to stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And this one is not that. No. This one is he is learning new behaviors. He is training the other zombies around him to like, oh, don't look at those fireworks. You know, they're just distracting you. Attack everybody. Somehow he's saying that with zombie moans and they're all understanding and follow him.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. I've just, again, I was stunned the first time I watched it and I was just lost and upset the second time I watched it. But I'll stop ranting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you want to go into the high points and low points? Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
It's up to you. Your episode.
All right. I'll go. I'll do my high points first.
Okay.
The battle train is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's wasteful in its bullets and like Gatling guns and things like that. But it looks cool. It's something mm-hmm. that you probably would build for the zombie apocalypse, right?
Oh yeah.
So that's good. I mean, the production value is high, right? Like he got big money for this movie. So there's like the practical effects are great. There's a lot of those. There's some on the other side we'll discuss mm-hmm. later, but, The practical effects are great. They look great. I don't know why the whole movie wasn't just done with them, but
mm-hmm.
They're great. Again, production value high. It is an interesting post-apocalypse dystopia. I don't, for reasons I mentioned earlier, don't agree that it would like be that way, but at least it's an interesting kind of class warfare look at things.
Yeah.
And again, somehow Tom Savini lived.
Mm-hmm.
So like he was a rotting corpse for what, 35 years or how many years it's been?
Well, Dawn of the Dead is 1978. So that is 27 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So somehow he survived as a corpse for 27 years to show up in this film.
Hell yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's all you got?
Yeah. Oh, and one more point I just wanted to make is that there is a dopey kid that is one of the survivors in this film that will show up in Survival of the Dead later.
Really?
Yes. Because, you know, there's like, you know, the Irish leader guy of like the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The kid that he hung out with him all the time. Right.
Uh huh.
With the hat.
Yeah.
That's the same kid from Survival of the Dead.
Oh,
the one that had the key to the safe.
Yeah,
it's the same guy. It's the same actor. They don't explicitly say it's the same dude, but again, this is Romero Films.
Yeah, we'll have to get into how that's not going to be possible.
Well, I'm just
saying, same character. Yeah,
I'm just saying, like yeah. it's that's mm-hmm. the same character. I mean, it can be the same character. They don't say his name at all.
That's true.
The survival did it. They just call him Boy. So like Boy. The name isn't a thing. It's he literally has the same haircut.
Maybe because I went into too much research about Diary of the Dead that we'll get into. But
he's not even in Diary of the Dead.
I know. But there's something that happens in that. So yeah, like I said, I'll go to my highlights then, right?
Yeah.
Tom Savini was great. He was great. As you said, practical effects were great when they were used.
correct.
Yeah, I like that this is still a continuation. Now, do I agree? Do I think there'll still be, filet mignon 37 years later? No, I don't think that would be a thing. And good, but we'll get into that. The two tourist zombies that you're able to take pictures with, that seems really stupid to do, was Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright.
Right, and like I said, it's more of the stuff of just like people like, Romero, you're the greatest ever. And then there's like everybody just letting him do, like they let this happen. Mm-hmm. Right. All of the people involved in this let this happen. Like, I don't know. Nobody said, hey, Romero, why are you fucking up your own world? Nobody said any of that. Correct. They just were like, oh, you're Romero. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much it I got for the highlights, low points. Smart, emotional zombies. They're the catalyst for the entire movie. That makes zero sense. They are pretty dumb and so emotional. Like, it's, you killed some of my friends, so I'm going to overrun the city. It would never happen. That was a stupid reason for the movie to happen.
Again and again and again, we get told that they're dead.
Yep.
They're rotting.
Yep.
Right? Brains that rot can't fucking learn.
Correct.
Unless there's supernatural stuff involved. And this is not supernatural. Nope. It's a virus that's keeping them alive. It's not a supernatural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a vampire. Yeah, they're dead. But that's obviously some kind of supernatural thing because they're immortal.
Yeah.
So like that's different. But like these are zombies. They're known for rotting and being dead. most of the other zombie franchises would have them be like, oh, they can only live for so many years before they literally just like rot away and can't do anything
anymore. Especially if they're not fed, they rot a lot faster.
Right. Well, yeah. A lot of them make sure to tell you like, yeah, they eat, but it doesn't give them nourishment. They just eat.
Yeah.
Like in Day of the Dead, he literally says like he cut his stomach out and they were still eating. Yeah. Because they have the urge to eat, but they're not getting any nourishment from it.
Well, she could argue it's just the virus trying to spread.
Right. Yeah. It is a virus. It's not supernatural. So, yeah. Which means if you're dead and you're rotting, your brain will rot. There's no way that after 30 years, it could possibly relearn stuff.
Spin up new synapses or make connections.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Not possible. It's literally running off of like the reptile brain. Right. Mm-hmm. So like you need more of your brain to make those big decisions. Like it's not possible to do.
Correct. But yeah, that's the whole reason of that. I have to call it the shitty fence. It's not even like bolted to anything. Like it took like six of them to knock it over.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, dude, they've been there for like 30 years.
Yeah.
How do you not build a better fucking fence in 30 years? Like, I mean, sheet metal or something, or bricks. Shit, if you've been there for 30 years, you could make a brick fucking wall.
Yeah, you could get all the sheet metal. You can weld it together. You have the labor force. That's the weakest point, and it's so stupid. It's like a fence that my dog would knock over on accident.
Right. And they're saying like, oh, we're protected by the river. Like, you're telling me at no point in 30 years, did a zombie walk across the river? Like, of course they can.
Yeah.
Like, zombies have never been impeded by water because, again, they're dead. They don't need to breathe air.
Correct.
So they can walk underwater. Like, mm-hmm. So they can walk across a whole lake. It might take them a long time, but they can.
Yeah. Now, on the counterpoint to the good practical effects, when the CGI is bad, the CGI is atrocious.
Yeah, it is. This is like... And there's no excuse for it. I mean, like, fucking Jurassic Park had been out for a decade at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? there's no way that you couldn't have done it better. I mean, I guess, you know, people just didn't know what to expect and they were just amazed that they could do stuff like that. Yeah. But like, you look at it now and it's like, this is shit.
Well, and that's, as you said, the practical effects. George Romero was always known for that, and the practical effects they did use were fantastic. So just kept it all practical. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess it was a new thing because Romero, it's been 20 years since he made a zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he was just excited about what he could do with CGI.
He went full George Lucas on this.
Yeah.
Trilogy.
Yeah. Again, it's, I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
But
that's why I made the olives this week when I did, because they're bad.
Yeah. Every movie has one. Yeah.
And like it's like he took the bad points from Snyder's Dawn of the Dead and brought it to his franchise, and that the two do not mesh together. It just seems like he is trying to copy the popular stuff at that point in time, and still it's trying to adhere to his own lore, which it just doesn't work. It flat out does not work.
But I mean, even Snyder didn't do the learning thing.
No.
I mean, he had like, you know, zombies that could like run and, you know, are generally more dangerous than
right
the stumbling, you know, corpse walkers we see in the first three. But like,
yeah,
there's no learning involved. There's no like, even the instinctual like grabbing of tools and stuff wasn't in that.
Yeah,
they were just corpses that could kill you.
Yeah. Now, how many bullets do you think Big Daddy had in that gun? And you know he didn't know how to reload it or get more bullets.
Well, again, you have to think of, okay, you have giant guns like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in a plane and you have giant guns like that, and you hold down the trigger button, you have about 9 seconds
mm-hmm.
of fire time if you held down the button. And it's like as much as that plane could carry. There's like all kinds of you know, rolled up bullets in that fucking thing that it fires in those 9 seconds. Like, yeah, the truck could hold that much, but like it would only be able to fire for a total of 9 seconds.
Correct. And Big Daddy fired his gun an awful lot and never needed bullets. He ran out of bullets the first time he pulled that trigger.
Yeah, but it's like... Romero is kind of like, for me, he does that all the time. Like you have guns and they have like unlimited ammo until mm-hmm. it's like a plot point that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think Survival of the Dead is the greatest like display of that.
Oh, for
but
sure.
This movie is definitely number two.
Oh yeah. Like I said, it's like your Big Daddy did not have enough bullets to make it all the way to the city after learning how to use the gun. He ran out. I'm sorry. And it's just too many bullets that he had in that gun. There's so much I could talk about this movie being just atrocious and bad, but I'm saying it right now, this is the best of the three. of these three, I think.
I don't know about that.
But that's my low points. How about yours?
Yeah, I mean, the fireworks thing is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. It's never been a thing before. I don't know why it was now. Like in the earlier movies, they were literally afraid of fire. So I could see them being afraid of them.
Yes.
But just sitting there and staring at them, that it doesn't make any sense. Again, he's rewriting his own rules.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking and learning, he's going against his own lore that he made for the first three movies. You know, Big Daddy, just, that whole character, I don't understand. He's just like a walking contradiction to like the original trilogy. The CGI we already talked about is terrible. Again, like everybody's using fucking automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, not only in this film, but like, I mean, they weren't that bad in Dawn of the Dead, right? Like they at least pretended like they would run out of ammo sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like this one, dude, like everybody has an automatic weapon and they're just firing everywhere.
Yep.
Like if you have to hit zombies in the head, why are you using automatic weapons?
Why are you spraying and praying?
Right. Like that doesn't make any sense. Why would you be using like machine, you know what I mean? Like fucking miniguns
mm-hmm.
that shoot like you know, hundreds of bullets or thousands, I don't know how fast they shoot, but it's like hundreds of bullets a second, right? That's completely wasted if you only need to shoot them in the head one time. Like, you're just wasting all of those bullets. If you get one, like, decent semi-auto rifle, you know, bink, bink, bink. You train to do well. You train marksmen, and you give them guns that don't shoot that fast. That's what. That's how you do it. That's every other franchise that has, like, length, you know?
Yep.
That's how they train it. You know, like, if you ever read World War Z, they had to retrain their whole military to shoot like that.
Yeah.
Because you shoot any more than that and you're wasting ammo, and you can't waste ammo because there's, you know, millions of them.
Right.
But yeah, this movie, again, 30 years later, and they're using machines, like, they still have like mountains of ammunition somehow, which doesn't make any sense. Okay. So they're going and scouting for supplies, right?
Yep.
They were able to get back from dusk to evening back to Fiddler's Green.
Mm-hmm.
So after 30 years, you can go like a couple hours away and still find enough supplies to fill a truck.
Oh, you're going to a different state.
Right. I'm like, there's no fucking way. Like, they have an entire city there, essentially.
Yeah.
There's no way that you're going to find 2 hours away a truck full of fucking canned goods. There's no fucking way. And like, they go into that liquor store and there's liquor on every shelf. Like, it was just opened.
Yep.
There's no way. There's no way in hell. Like, one of the first things that's going to happen is looting, right? As soon as the world starts to collapse, people are going to fucking loot everything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just, it's pointless. And again, the money. Who the fuck cares about money? Who's going to take that money? Like, Dennis Hopper is going to take all the money, put it in his car. Where's he going to go with it? What's he going to do with it?
Right.
Like, the next checkpoint he gets to, they're going to be like, yeah, money, great. Like, we'll use it to start a fire. What do you got? You know, yep. What do you got that's actually worth something?
What do you contribute to the society that you're trying to move into?
Right. And, like, how did those people not revolt? Like, all they had was money.
Yeah.
Like, money is worthless. 30 years later, they're still somehow living off of money?
Mm-hmm.
I was just, like, mystified. I'm like, you had this figured out. You had this figured out in your earlier movies, you know what I mean? Like, especially Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. Like, well, I would say more so Dawn of the Dead, but, you know, the world has collapsed. Money doesn't matter.
Yep.
All that matters is what you can get, how to survive. That's all that matters. And then we're like going fucking backwards in this movie. There are so many things that he just like goes backwards on and just like remakes his own stuff. It's just bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
But again, yeah, the great equalizer is the apocalypse, right? Like, the apocalypse, there is no class warfare anymore. I mean, Correct. Sure, there's going to be cliques and gangs of people fighting each other, but they're going to be fighting over resources.
And power.
Not money, right?
Right.
Like, nobody gives a shit about money anymore. I just don't understand that. I don't understand the whole Fiddler's Green thing. It doesn't make sense to me at all. That's all I got. All
right.
So... this week we're going to do CGI headshots because there's at least one in all of these and they're all bad.
They get gradually worse.
Yeah. They are just atrociously bad. So we're going to do number of CGI headshots out of 10. You know, I guess I can go first.
Sure.
I don't even know. I'm still stunned. Like, I'm watching it now and I'm like, I don't know what to even think. Right. Because like, it's Romero. I mean, like, I guess he can break his own rules if he wants to, but like, he broke so many. You know what I mean? It's like, it feels like a different world, like a completely different universe.
Yes.
But I have to say, he put the Of the Dead at the end of it, which to me means that it's in the same franchise. And if we are rating a entry in a franchise where the fourth movie rewrites everything from the first three, I got to give it a bad score. And I got to go... 3.75.
Yeah, this hurts me. It does, for the same reasons that you said. This is Romero, right? This is like his lore. He can change it. Like I said, he really George Lucas this trilogy really bad, and I was thinking about like I need room to move down because, you know,
I will forgive a few things in here. Production value was pretty good. The practical effects were pretty good. I will go down, though, to a 4.5 CGI headshots out of 10, just because I've watched this many times. I skipped this movie entirely. And I own this on DVD, too. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing. Like, if this wasn't an Of the Dead film, if this was not a Romero Of the Dead film, it's not a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not bad. It's a generic-y kind of action zombie movie, right? If it was not an Of the Dead movie, if it was not a Romero movie, it would score much higher.
Yeah.
But because this is Romero, and he put Of the Dead in the title, I'm going to hold him to what he made before this. And this is nowhere near what it should be. And I don't understand, like, in 20 years, maybe he lost the plot. I don't know. But yeah, I can only measure it against the other three, and this one falls way short.
Mm-hmm. All right. That means I have Diary of the Dead from 2008. And this is a different take from Romero. And like I said, I did a lot of research on this just because of what the style is. It's a found footage Romero zombie movie. It's crazy.
With narration.
Correct. Which, yes. And honestly, let's face it, not a lot fucking happens in this movie. Essentially, we have the death of death, people making a film student project in college. This is why I go into this depth, because Romero says this is a fucking hard reset of the world. This is the start of the new apocalypse, of the new zombie outbreak in 2008. Because he said kids would not be in college now nearly, 40 years later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not like the zombies went away and then they're coming back. No, these are people that they don't know what's going on. So correct. This is just happening. And yes, they are using modern technologies. So.
They are. That's why I said it's really interesting that the kid's the same from between the two movies, because there's a hard world reset.
Well, there's a hard, I mean, sure, but it is the same character.
But anyway, so yeah, these college kids are like, oh, this is going on here. And they get all this information. I'm like, oh, there's an event. Oh, one dead person rose up. Well, that's just a coincidence. That couldn't possibly happen again. Six mistakes happening. Now there's something wrong. One guy that's playing the mummy in Death of Death is like, you know what? My parents have money. I'm out and taking this girl with me. See ya. Cool. We'll see you in the last 20 minutes of the film. Bye. Have fun. And essentially then they're trying to figure out what's going on there, and they're reporting like the news. They're like, hey, you know what? This is going on there. There's distortions of the news and the events that we see happening. This police chief looks suspiciously like George Romero is rewriting the history and all that stuff. So like they're gonna be the new journalists of the world, and their information that puts out there's like, we got 72,000 views in a couple of hours or however many minutes. Like, that's awesome. We're going viral. Yay, end of the world part. So anyway, they're traveling back to their home, trying to figure out what's happening to their parents. They end up at a hospital where they have a really bad CGI gunfight with the nurse and everything like that. And they realize that this is just a end of the world type scenario, and they don't know what to do. And the question of like, why are you holding the camera? Well, we got to report this. Hey, look, another camera. Great found footage movie. I understand why you're doing this, because I make them. But in this context, it does not make any sense, in my opinion. So anyway, all that's going on there. They eventually get to, one of the girls' houses, and her parents are on this camping trip. They find them dead. The teacher that went with them is like, you know what? Screw guns. I'm going to have this bow and arrow. And he's quite sufficient because he's an alcoholic and killed people in war, right? So he's like, I'm done with the guns. There's, like I said, all that's happening. So anyway, they end up like a deaf Amish guy with buttons, and there's zombies there, and he gets overtaken, he gets bitten, and he just puts the scythe like right through his own head. All that's going on there, and as they're kind of going through and trying to figure out, hey, we're gonna go to this guy's house, and everyone else, we don't know what else to do, they get stopped by a bunch of like army or national guards, and they'll come to play in the next movie.
Well, they don't. That happens after they go to the town with the people that took over the town and like stockpiled all the
supplies. Oh yeah, the town that which didn't really amount to a whole lot.
And then it doesn't really matter. It's just an interesting thing that the people took back their own town to keep it safe, and they took all the supplies, and then they were like, "Hey, can we have some?" And they're like, "No, okay."
Yeah.
And they give them supplies and then they leave, and then it happens. I mean, correct. It's not a big event, but it does happen.
That is the roles that you get for people that pay to be on set. There's that part right there. So I'm just spoiling all the ins and outs, right? They get that, and then the National Guard, whoever they are, steal all their supplies, but let them get their weapons. Like, well, this is an apocalypse, so they know that we're dead without our weapons. So yay them. Anyway, they end up going to this guy's house who's acting kind of, I would say, weird, odd, and all that stuff. And yeah, the girl that is with is dead. His parents are dead, and he was bitten, and he's slowly kind of turning with it. And we have a big zombie attack in the house, and a few more people die. The main guy, Jason, who's making this entire film, ends up dying, and they eventually, you would say, ironically, end up making the same movie that they were making at the very beginning, right? With the main girl going, "Hey, I'm this damsel in distress. Hey, this guy that's a zombie is now, instead of the mummy, he's a zombie." And yeah, they kind of just
don't mess with Texas.
Yeah. And there's like, we're uploading this film. That's the entire narration. It's like, we're uploading this for Jason, right? And they just kind of go and stay in the bunker, don't they? Or they leave and just try to figure out what to do next.
I think they just leave.
Yeah. Yep. So they had an expensive house they were able to rent out. That was the purpose of that set piece. And a few less people. And, it's only been, they said like 3-ish days after the end of the world. Everyone still has all the technology and all these uploads and stuff like that. But,
well, I mean, it would take a while. I mean, even if you don't touch the internet, it would still work. I mean, eventually it's going to go down because stuff breaks and there's nobody to fix it. So eventually it will go down. But I mean, it's debatable as to how long it would last. I mean, I could see you saying it'll last, a week. Okay, that's plausible. Or it'll last 5 years. Well, okay, that's plausible. I mean, it could be. I mean, obviously, if you say 20 years, okay, that's no. I don't think right. that would happen. But it would stay up for a while until something breaks.
And what's with me? I know I've watched this movie before, but I can tell you this time it took me 3 days to get through because I could not stand it in the slightest. I feel like I had purged this from my head at one point, and then I realized I had seen this. I'm just going, oh no, like this is interesting. And that's when I started doing the deep dives into everything with it, because Romero essentially said, I want to do a hard reset. And with reasons, he said the kids wouldn't be in college 4 years later. And he goes, well, I went so big with Land of the Dead, I need to go back to the indie horror roots. And that's why he did Final Footage. And he still wrote, directed, and had a DP to film all of it. He goes, that was the biggest mistake. Because usually in Final Footage films, the camera person is the cast, is the people in the thing, because they're holding it there. And it makes sense to kind of have it that way. He goes, no. So it really is an interesting found footage take to have someone do that, which is very rare. And he went so small with this, it hurt.
Well, I think what happened was that he, it was like a found footage. If you want to do a reboot of your franchise, the zombie, apocalypse from the beginning, done from the viewpoint of the people on the ground, like, that's cool. That's a fun idea. But, and I'm sure he liked the idea of found footage, because again, Blair Witch had, hit popularity at this point. I mean, like Paranormal Activity had hit popularity at this point. Like, it was something that was, indie and kind of raw and a good way to tell the story. But yeah, just not done the right way.
Right.
And they showed them like professionally editing it, like as they were going along, which is like, I mean, if anybody had done any editing, it's not something you could do in 2 minutes, but they're doing it in 2 minutes as they're going through a zombie apocalypse, which is, again, there's too much to explain with too little time to do this stuff to make it look professional. Like, again, they have like fucking voiceovers. They have like spliced in news footage and like all this, you know, spliced in like satellite footage. Like, oh, I hacked into their surveillance system and somehow got a digital download of this. And here you go.
And it's open. It's an open system. Easy peasy. Like, wow. Those people would fucking kill you if they know that you did that. But again,
it's like, it's a CCTV system. It's probably wired from the camera to a fucking monitor.
Are you saying like, that his Mac could not pick it up?
I'm just saying, like, what is there? What digital thing could you download? Like, again, that level of warehouse, that level of black and white camera they had, it's probably hooked to a tape somewhere.
Yeah, through BNC connections.
I'm just saying, like, there's no way that they just, like, you know, click, magic, here's digital download. And, like, this is 2008.
Yeah.
You know, again, like, it's not like everything was digital back then.
Oh, no.
Everything's not digital now. It's, like, 20 years later.
CCTV is still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still digital, and it's still analog. So.
Right. I mean, no, there is more digital, but, like, you know, a shitty warehouse with a black and white camera, right.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna
happen. Well, it's I don't know. Like I said, part of me is just it irks me maybe more now than it did back then, just because of what I do with found footage films. To realize that, like, this is like way overblown.
Anything budgetary, you do is not as good as Dire of the Dead, buddy. Sorry,
but I'm just saying. But to have $2 million for a found footage movie is a lot of money. An awful lot of money.
Yeah, and again, it does. Look at, you can see the money that was put into it. It's counter to what it presents itself as.
Yes.
Like, again, if you spent more money and just made a regular film, it's better. Or if you spent less money and did a real found footage, it's better.
Correct.
And so like this weird in between that's worse in both ways.
Right. And that's what people always try to do with the found footage world is like, oh, you know, Blair Witch didn't cost a lot of money to make. Paranormal Activity, the first ones, didn't cost a lot of money. We're talking like $15,000 to $20,000, and people, and that's a lot of money sometimes for found footage. And just, I understand him wanting to do like his indie roots again, but like he did so much more with so much less with Night of the Living Dead. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's frustrating when somebody who like should know how to do it and they do it so wrong. Yes.
Yeah. That's my take on it, obviously. Do you remember when you watched this? Did you watch this when it came out, or was it like more of a recent thing for you?
No, I watched it when it came out. Again, it was like, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it like this when it was first available on Netflix. Got the disc in the mail because this was, really before they, I mean, I think Netflix had like the beginnings of streaming at this point, but they didn't have anything like new up there.
Yeah.
So I watched it when it came out, and I didn't hate it. I thought it's not as good as the original trilogy. I liked it more than Land of the Dead. Again, because all the goofy shit that he did to break his own lore in Land of the Dead, he reverted. All of that shit is gone.
Yeah.
And like he even backed it up to the point where like the zombies don't use any tools. They don't do goofy shit like trying to play their own lives again or anything like that. No, these are just straight up zombies, period. So I can appreciate that. I can appreciate when he did this hard reboot, he threw all that dumb bullshit behind he was trying to do in Land of the Dead. I appreciate that a lot. That gives me bonus points for this. we'll get into it, but
yeah.
You can go ahead with your
high points. I just want to get your first thoughts, initial takes. Like I said, that was my stuff, but I said, don't get me wrong. It is found footage, especially at that point in time, is unique for a zombie movie. Now, I've lost track of how many found footage zombie movies there are at this point in time. But in 2008, it wasn't a lot because people.
Well, how many good ones are there? Zero. The answer is zero.
Yeah, zero. It's very true. But it's, like I said, it's a different take. Like I said, I appreciate him trying to do the indie way. Just, I appreciate him for that. And it's interesting that he actually did a hard reset, which, you know, it's an interesting direction to see what he's able to rebuild with the lore and what he kept and what he didn't. So that was a good thing, I guess, because I don't think he could continue the timeline he had in perpetuity.
He totally could have. You know, but you know what I mean? If he would have done it right, he could have kept that shit going. The next movie could have been about all those people that survived going north. They didn't say what they were going to. They said, oh, we'll see what's out there. It could have been anything out there.
Yeah. What I have always found interesting as a whole, though, for him is he's never really done that. He's trying to figure out what made them tick in day, right? But it's not, there's an end all be all cure out there. Like, the world's just fucked no matter what.
I mean, yeah, as close as we got to somebody finding a cure was the doctor in Day of the Dead. And there was no cure. He was just trying to figure out something else they could do with zombies instead of just letting them take over the earth. That was it. That was his whole thing. There was no such thing as curing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's interesting. I mean, that's a path that he's never taken before. But this is a different take. But that's honestly all I have for the highlights for this movie. How about you?
Again, I like the hard reboot, that taking away all the dumb bullshit from Land. I do appreciate that. I do like that it's found footage. I do like it's closer to the ground and not quite so grand as it has been in the last couple of movies. You know, I mean, I liked Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead for what it did, but you know, it was away from the small group that was Night of the Living Dead, which made that movie shine. So it's kind of like back to the roots there. I'm not going to say it's great, but yeah, I mean, Tatiana Maslany is in this movie for like 5 minutes. I mean, she's great. She's awesome. I mean, she doesn't last very long, but she outacts everybody in this whole fucking movie in the 5 minutes that she's there.
Oh, there's actors in this movie.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, she's awesome, but she's like the first one to go, which is funny because I don't know who any of the other people are
other than George Romero.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but like everybody else, like, I have no idea who those people are. I've never seen them again. You know, like, again, zombies are zombies again. Like I said, you know, all the dumb bullshit from Land is gone. I'm gonna say it twice because I really like it. And money is useless again. Again, like, this is 3 days after the fucking apocalypse happens and already nobody gives a shit about money.
Yep.
Like, so what the fuck was Land of the Dead? Like, he understood he fucked up because he immediately reversed. This is 3 years later and he's reversing all of those changes. So bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on my low points here. Holy shit, is the acting atrociously bad. I mean, yeah, found footage is gonna be not as good because you're trying to go for that realism.
Yeah.
But it's like somebody wrote realism and was trying to get them to stick to a script, and it just sucks. Like, trying to film like real written lines in a found footage manner is not good, and that's what they did, and it's horrible. Anytime like real emotion is supposed to be like in their voice, it's just not present. You know, like whenever they're like stressed or sad, like it's like they're just talking. There's like, there's no emotion. Like, they'll like raise their head and there's like tears in their eyes. And like, she doesn't even sound like she's upset. Like, what the fuck is this?
I loved him. It was sad.
Right. Like, what? I said the only one that did it right was Tatiana Maslany. And then she was the first one to die.
Yep.
She like literally killed herself. Because she was upset that she ran over people, which were zombies. But again, this is the beginning of the apocalypse before they knew that.
And in fairness, no one looks like a zombie in this movie.
Well, the people she ran over were like white faced.
For the most part,
they had the blue face makeup that the zombies are known for.
It's only them, though. We don't see them like that in the rest of the film, though.
Oh, God. Well, I'm rolling to my second one here. Is like, the CGI is atrocious. Holy Christ. Like, when, when she runs over the people, it looks like you're looking at like a fucking old TV screen. And there's just like, she's running over zombies and it looks like cardboard cutouts. Like they're not even like moving. I was like, okay, like it looks like you're playing a video game. You're fine. What are you upset about? The truck didn't even go bump bump when you ran him over.
Mm-hmm.
And like the one scene where they defibrillate and the eyes explode. It's like, holy shit, dude. Like I can do better than that. And I don't even know how to do it. Yeah. So the voiceover was completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Okay. You're trying to give a little bit more background. You're trying to like inject a little bit more juice into like the backstory of this. But it's like, it really felt like the narration in Blade Runner, you know, and where the studio was like, nobody knows what's happening. You have to do a voiceover. And everyone was like, no, we don't. But they forced them to. And so then they like immediately had to do a director's cut where it wasn't in it.
Correct.
Because it's so bad. It feels like that. Like there should have been a director's cut without the voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Holy bad CGI Batman. Like, as you said, I'm just like, you know, and that's, and to me, once again, indie found footage, generally not relying on CGI. Practical effects is the way to go. And should have done it that way. I think that made it feel more found footage ish. This screams Birdemic levels bad.
Right. But it's like if you're doing a found footage, you expect it to be like not fantastic effects.
Right.
But like you don't expect goofy CGI.
Correct. You shouldn't. You should not expect it. Yeah.
Right.
And as you said, the acting is it's bad. And that's generally what makes found footage seem more real is what a lot of people do is they have the generally as long as you don't contradict the script, you're generally fine to say what you want. And that feels more natural than, as you said, people are literally just reading verbatim. He's like, it almost felt like he said, this is what I wrote. This is how the way you say it. And you have to say it this way. Give people more range to do more in, especially like I said, found footage. My God, I lost track how many times that they had something happened and they went to the next scene and then they had a flashback to what just happened.
Right.
Nonstop. Remember that when that just happened? Yeah, that just happened. That was the last scene.
But yeah, but like somebody edited it in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll go back and we'll do a slow-mo version of what just happened. Like, who the fuck is professionally doing this in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah. It's really that the flashbacks were just for killing me. They really were. Everything that you said, but, and then like, well, someone made a comment. There's not enough bullets in the world for all the zombies. Yes, there are. There definitely are enough bullets in the world for a zombie apocalypse. I don't know why that line was said. It just seemed out of place and stupid because every other time, as you said, pointing out the Romero stuff, there's always enough bullets. Like, now there's not. Okay.
Yeah, there's not. Well, they didn't like try to get any either, but. And like somehow like the one gun they had like multiple clips for, like that first little gun that they had, it was like a little 380 that holds like 5 rounds. And like they somehow shot that thing like 25 times.
Hey, can you take this? It's too easy to kill.
Like, it's out of bullets, dude. It's been out of bullets for a long time. Like pick up a pipe.
What? They don't have enough kits to repair those pipes.
Don't remind me. Dear God.
Oh,
the worst fucking mechanic in gaming. Sorry, people. The worst mechanic in gaming is where you have a melee-focused game and your fucking weapon breaks when you use it.
Mm-hmm.
The shittiest mechanic ever. And so many fucking games do it. It drives me nuts. Like, a lead pipe does not break down. It's a lead fucking pipe.
And what are you repairing it with? Cotton?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, what the fuck? Anyway,
continue. Oh yeah, no, I just had to point out just because it's so stupid. It just movie was not good as all. And honestly, I kind of put I missed all the zombies being blue.
like a lot of them just felt like they just didn't want to have makeup on them on themselves.
Well, if you're a fresh zombie, like, you don't look dead. You look like a normal person, maybe a pale, but you don't look like, you know, a corpse. But yeah, like, well, in The Walking Dead, that's when they started doing that. When they turn into zombies, they get the milk eyes. Because that way you know who's a zombie and who isn't, because they kind of had to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like in like every other thing that the zombies have the milk eyes, they said it takes a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like microabrasions from like dust and shit because they don't blink.
Well, I mean, Richard from Dawn of the Dead was in the elevator for a few hours and he was blue.
Oh no, yeah, I'm just saying the original ones, yes, they're blue like crazy. I'm just saying, like, moving forward, that's like, because you have to try to differentiate them somehow from people, like regular people and people who just turned, like, you mm-hmm. have to try to like show them. That's why they usually have them injured in some way.
But hey, at least you got your zombies eating intestines again in this one.
Ugh.
Like, really so gross. Bad.
This one wasn't as bad because it wasn't like they were just like zooming in on them chewing at intestines.
It was really bad CGI intestines that fell off that body in the hospital.
Yeah, right. Really, that's was. Like sloppy intestines falling out of a body that I'm fine with. When you're picking it up and chewing on a thing that it's like, I know it's real intestines. I mean, I know it's not human intestines, but I know it's real intestines. Like, that's fucking gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not scared of sausage. Like, I understand intestines are like a piece of it, but like, it's like gross, floppy, like meaty intestines. That's yeah. gross.
But yeah, so overall, this movie hurt me as a Romero fan and a found footage fan. So it got really low marks for me on that for this.
Oh, but, you know, yeah. I don't hate this movie as much as I hate Land of the Dead.
Really?
Yeah. Well, again, it does it. It goes back to zombies being zombies. They don't fucking learn. They're not doing the instinctual dumb shit that they've been doing. All the goofy things that I don't like about the earlier films, they don't do. I mean, yeah, the acting is terrible. The story is shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things wrong with it, but I like the zombie purity of this film. I like. It's much better than Land of the Dead. Land of the Dead, if you take away the Of the Dead and take away Romero, do I like it better than this movie? Yes. But you put in the Of the Dead, you put in Romero made it, it puts it below this movie.
Yeah, except for me, because we're going to a number of CGI headshots. Yeah, for me, it's not drastically worse. It's worse. I'm going down to 3.5 CGI headshots out of 10 for Diary of the Dead. How about you?
I'm going to go up, and I'm going to give it a 5.
Ooh.
5 CGI headshots out of 10. Because, again, yeah, not good. It's not a good movie. it does things better than Land of the Dead. It does a lot of things worse. It does, I'd say worse as far as the series goes. But it does some things right, so I have to give it credit for that.
That's fair. I want you to take us through what those nasty National Guard did for the next movie. They stole
their- all right, I'm going to try to like be quick here because the story is just stupid.
There's not much story.
Essentially, it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys, right? Two families that hate each other. They don't even, if they've been hating each other for so long, they don't even remember why they hate each other anymore, right? But they like, they take every opportunity to fucking, you know, get in each other's way and kill each other when they can, blah, 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 blah. So essentially, we have a little island off the coast of, I don't know, a New England area.
Mm-hmm.
Massachusetts, maybe? I don't know. I don't remember where it was. But it's off the East Coast somewhere. But they all have Irish accents for some reason.
They're often in New Jersey or Delaware. You're right, Delaware.
Plum Island. I was gonna say they're up there somewhere, and they all have Irish accents.
Everyone,
like, all of them, mm-hmm. except for like the daughter, who's, you know, like younger. But like everybody else has Irish accents. Like at first, I'm like, is this in Ireland? But then they like directly said, no, it's off the coast of Delaware. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. So it's these two Irish families that hate each other. What are they? The O'Flynns and the Muldoons. Anyway, so the one guy, the O'Flynn guy, goes, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to eradicate all the zombies from this whole island, right? So there's not going to be any zombies here to infect anybody. We're going to end the infection here. And Muldoon steps in and is like, you know, we don't know what's wrong with them. They might just be sick. You know, if we kill them all and a cure comes out, then they're going to be upset, you know, that they did that. So they kind of like challenged each other, and then O'Flynn lost. So all the zombies stayed alive. And then we're done with that now. we don't come back to it for at least another 30 minutes. So O'Flynn, you know, gets exiled on a boat. Okay. End that section. Then we go to the four National Guard people from Dire of the Dead. I mean, yeah, they're the same people, or at least the one dude is the same. So we got one like jerk leader guy. We got hypersexual lesbian. We got hypersexual guy trying to get with the lesbian. And then we have
he just needs 5 minutes. Okay.
Right. And then we have like fucking Gomer Pyle. And then like this dopey fucking kid that they pick up, which is again the same actor from Land of the Dead as the dopey kid from that movie. So they're like the team, right? So they get somehow see this web video.
They see the video that went viral of them from Diary of the Dead.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, look, we're big jerks. Like, even though the world has completely destroyed itself, somehow people are still like judging you online. Bizarre.
Yeah. It's 21 days later after the events of Diary of the Dead. Yeah.
Right. So O'Flynn calls himself like Captain Courageous and makes a video online, like trying to recruit people to like, oh, you come to this island. It's totally safe. You know, you come here and we'll go there and we'll all live happily ever after together. So they're like, hey, why not? We got nothing else to do. Let's go there. So we go there. Immediately, they start shooting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, he asked people to come there and then he's like, why are you here? Like, you made a video, dude. Like, anyway. So the hypersexual duo decide to swim to this ferry. Okay, mm-hmm. They're in an armored car, so they're safe, but they're getting shot at by the Irish folks. So the hypersexual duo swims to this ferry, start it up, drive it back. They pick up the armored car, and then they're just going to drive to the island. And so everybody else dies except for the head O'Flynn guy who manages to get on the ferry, and then they're all like, oh, okay, we'll just forgive each other. Everything's fine.
Which makes zero sense.
Correct. Like, especially since, like, their friends died. Like, I think Gomer Pyle dies during that fight.
Hey, and don't forget, you know, one guy did bite the finger of a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. The hypersexual man bit the finger of a zombie. So, they get to the island. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, I came from here. We're fighting the Muldoons. Give me a gun. I'm going to go take care of it. And then he, like, disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So they meet up with like his daughter, and the daughter's like, oh yeah, you know, he's crazy. You know, he's been trying to kill all the zombies on the island, but the other guy won't let him happen. So now the zombies are like everywhere. And so they're walking through and you see like, you know, all the zombies are like chained to the mailman zombies, like chained to a mailbox. And like, you know, like the one zombie sister is still riding a horse around. Like,
hey, they went back to doing the things they knew and love.
Exactly. They're back to like doing the instinctual things. Not as bad as Land of the Dead. No, none of them are learning.
Correct.
But they're going back to the instinctual thing that we saw in like Day of the Dead, to where, you know, they're trying to live out their life somehow because they don't know what's going on. Anyway, so that's what we do. We end up in kind of we just basically end up in a standoff between the two families. I don't even understand what happened. They like put down their guns, but they all walked in anyway. And then the daughter gave them back their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just started shooting each other. And like a lot of people died. And then they are all just like, oh, we're going to take this island over for ourselves. And then it just kind of like fades away. And then we get a scene of O'Flynn and Muldoon, who both killed each other, but now they turn into zombies, and now they're trying to kill each other as zombies.
Right. And he did kill his alive daughter, because he had a twin sister that was a zombie, and he still killed his alive daughter for no reason?
Well, she got bit.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah, she got bit by her sister.
Oh, that's right.
Because they were trying to. Okay. Well, that's another thing. Is like, I don't understand what was happening. We'll talk about this. But Muldoon is trying to be like, oh yeah, the zombies. We just got to get them to eat something else.
Yep.
Not people. So he's trying to get the one zombie daughter to eat her own horse.
Yep.
And like, if she eats the horse, all of their problems are solved.
Yes.
I don't understand what that means, but he's like, if she bites the horse, like, you have to agree that I won. And he's like, oh, sure. And then like at the end of the movie, she bites the horse, which, and then they're all like, oh, that was the thing. Like, I don't understand what that was supposed to accomplish. But anyway, the one live daughter sees the zombie daughter and tries to, like, you know, talk to her as if she's the daughter, and she bites her in the hand. So, yeah, the dad does shoot her, but to stop her from being a zombie.
But he's dying and then shoot himself in the head.
Correct. No, yeah, he just dies. Yeah. And then both of the Muldoon and O'Flynn are then trying to kill each other as zombies with guns that don't have any bullets. And the rest of them, like, they take the $1 million that was in the armored car, and they're going to go, like, do something with this $1 million.
Because money is now 21 days after money
being worthless. Like, we took steps forward in Diary of the Dead, and now we're taking steps back again. It's like, the longer a franchise exists in Romero's head, like, the goofier it gets. I don't understand. Yeah, he reset it in Diary of the Dead, and all the rules were the same. And now it's like, moving forward, now they're all goofy again.
Yep.
So... but again, the first time I saw this movie, I was trying to find it everywhere. It wasn't in the theater. It supposedly got released direct to video, but I could not find it. Like, Netflix didn't even have a listing for it. Like, I was like, even trying to get the disc in the mail did not exist. Like, I was trying to find it, like, online to even buy, does not exist. I could not find it anywhere. Like, I knew what the release date was. I knew when it was supposed to come out. I could not find it anywhere. I mean, maybe it was in, like, only in art house movie theaters or something, but it was in nowhere near me.
I thought this was straight to DVD.
It might have been. I don't know. I just know that it was the release date, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And then, like, a week later, this is back when PlayStation Network, you could, like, buy and rent movies.
Mm-hmm.
It showed up on there. I was like, holy shit, how does it end up on PlayStation Network and, like, there's no record on Amazon? Netflix doesn't have a record of it. I'm sure they do now. At that time, they did not. And so I rented it on PlayStation, which was outrageous prices back then, just because I needed to watch it. And I was upset that I did.
Sorry. It had a release date only in Venice.
I was like, I knew there was a release date because I was reading about it and I heard about it. And they were saying, yeah, we should be able to watch it at this date. And it was like, there's no record anywhere of the movie.
No. It cost twice as much as Diary of the Dead, and it made 1/10 of its budget.
I'm not surprised, but it was just a hard movie to find to watch. And when I finally found it, I was upset that I was looking for it that much and had to pay that much.
This was, in my recollection, the first time I saw this movie. I think I was so upset with Diary of the Dead and Land of the Dead that I said, I'm done until this episode. Cause I don't remember a damn thing from this. If I had seen it, I don't remember a single thing, which is weird for me. So I clearly must not have seen it.
I just remembered the Hatfield and the McCoy angle and then the zombie lady riding a horse. And it was the, you know, guard people from Diary of the Dead. That was literally all I remember. I only saw it the one time.
Yeah. Do you want to go first with your highlights?
Hey, sure. Why not? Okay. I think it's interesting that this is the first movie that actually, like, continues a story from the movie before it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, every other movie, there's been five other films that have had no connection to each other.
Correct.
They're just like seven. They're in the same world, but they're completely different characters, completely different stuff. I mean, the closest we get to a connection is like the Tom Savini zombie in Land of the Dead. That's as close as we get.
Yeah.
And this one, it's like actual characters that appeared in the movie before. Yeah, it was only for a couple of minutes, but they were actually there, and it was a direct continuation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Again, the boy from Land of the Dead, like, it was the same actor with the same haircut. Like, I know that was supposedly a hard reboot, but like, I wonder if this is like an alternate universe, and this, that same kid ends up in this place rather than the other Land of the Dead. Anyway, and again, like, we're going back to the remembered instincts again. But again, at least they don't do the, hey, they're learning thing.
Right.
So I can appreciate that. The instinctual thing has always been in the films. I can't knock that, but there's no learning, which is the thing that really upset me. So far out of these six films, there's only one in which zombies can learn. So take that for whatever you want. That's it. Oh, that's all I got.
I mean, we don't know how Twilight of the Dead will be, so who knows? Hey, we're finally on an island.
Yeah, not the kind of island you're thinking.
No, but I'm just saying we finally see that survival thing of being on the island, which, okay, I can see why people would want it, because that's even the thing that they did in the Dawn of the Dead remake, as they try to get to the island to do it, and it's always the last thing that we see. But hey, they're there. Not that it did any good for them. Yay, she bit a horse. Profit.
Right. Okay. I did a lot of thinking about this. Uh-huh. I was just like, how the fuck does that even matter? But here's what I'm thinking. Muldoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the O'Flynns and the Muldoons, like, they had to be against each other no matter what was going on.
Correct.
And O'Flynn had a great idea of, let's just cleanse all the zombies from our island. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. And Muldoon was like, no. They might just be sick. If a cure comes out, like, we don't want to be like, whoops, they're all dead. So I understand that sentiment, I guess.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I don't like is he's like trying to be a bleeding heart. Like, oh, we don't know what happens with them. We shouldn't kill them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple scenes of him being like mildly inconvenienced by them and then just shooting him in the head. So like, okay, if you actually cared about them, you wouldn't just murder them. You'd like try to corral them or knock them down or something. But no, there's multiple scenes in which him and his men are just like, oh, they got out, bang. Oh, he's coming at me, bang. Like, okay. So that like goes against the whole thing you were going for. One, that's the big thing I have a problem with. Two, I get his point of, we have to teach them to eat something that's not people.
Yes.
Okay. I understand that concept, but expanding your palate does not exclude the thing that you ate before.
Correct.
So if you only eat fish and then somebody's like, hey man, you really got to try this thing. It's called chicken. It's great. And you try the chicken. You're like, that is great. Are you only going to ever eat chicken?
Nope.
No. Now you're going to eat chicken and fish. So like, even if the bonus thing happens is, oh, they're going to eat a horse. When there's no horse, they're still going to eat a person.
Yep.
Or if a person is closer than the horse, they're still going to go after a person. You're not solving any problems. You're just giving them more to eat. So now they're going to eat all your livestock as well.
Well, and they could bite something that you don't know is tainted, and then you eat that tainted thing. Yeah.
Right. Again, it's like there's nothing good about this plan. I understand, like, in your head, like, oh, yeah, if they eat something else, they won't eat us. But, like, you think about it for, like, a second, and you're like, oh, wait, just because they can eat a horse doesn't mean they're not going to keep eating people also.
I guess the thing is that you don't typically see in zombie films as a whole, not just Romero, is animals, generally speaking. I've always had it in my head canon that they just eat raw flesh. Humans are preferred, but like, I would think they'd eat a dog just fine.
It depends on, it depends on the kind of zombie.
Right.
Like in The Walking Dead, they will eat animals.
Right.
Like there's scenes of them eating horses and other animals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the animals can't be turned. So there's no such thing as a zombie animal, but the zombies can eat animals.
Hey, we had a zombie tiger in Army of the Dead.
I know. I'm just saying, like, some movies don't get that concept. Romero has never had a zombie animal.
But we have also never had, realistically, animals in the Romero movie.
In Romero, no.
Yeah. So I just found it interesting that he finally answered that question of would they, could they? But like I said, he's the last person that makes zombie films to have really answered that question, which is interesting.
I've seen it in a lot of zombie stuff is like they'll eat anything. I mean, if you look at 28 Years Later, did you see that?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying he's the last person in his zombie world to say that they would eat animals, which is interesting. Like I said, everyone else says they would just fine.
Well, it's not something that he made a point to not do. It's just right. That he just didn't have an animal wrangler for any of this.
Right.
Well, I mean, like Day of the Dead, it wouldn't make sense. Dawn of the Dead, it really wouldn't make sense. Night of the Living Dead, it really wouldn't make sense. I guess Land of the Dead, there could have been animals there.
Right.
But again, it just never came up. You know, Diary of the Dead, I guess they could have seen some. But like right. They were on the run, so it's not like they would have a dog with them unless one of them was like blind or something.
Right. But that's all I have for my highlights. Do you want me to roll in my low points?
Sure.
Damn Irish.
Wait, those are your high points? You were complaining the whole time. Just high points are supposed to be no complaints.
That's that they finally had the island. Oh. And yay, she bit a horse. And that's what that led that discussion. I did not like the idea of Hatfields and McCoys meet zombies in the slightest.
I mean, it's not a terrible idea, but it was not done well here.
And these people acted like they've been in the zombie world for decades. It's been 21 days.
Well, again, he acted like he was exiled like years ago.
Right.
And it was like a week ago.
Yeah. Which is stupid. The CGI is even worse in this one than Diary of the Dead.
Correct. Somehow.
Somehow. I'm just going, it like, even their headshots are just so very, very bad that they had like that close-up headshot with the National Guard guys like, hey-ha, shoot him in the head. I'll shoot you in the head. Oh, look, it's a zombie. I'll let you get bit and then shoot you. I'm like, what? Just shoot the zombie. You have one less zombie and one more person with a gun. Like, that was stupid. I hated the entire National Guard plot point. I hated
that's what Romero plot point. He loves to do that. Is like there'll be a character that goes off on their own to do something, mm-hmm. right? Anything, and they'll be like, you know, some like super sneaky ninja zombie, like always sneaks up behind him, bites him right on the neck, yep. Every fucking time. Like these zombies are completely silent. Only when they need to be, like they have plot, like silence when they need them to. Otherwise, they're just like loud as hell and stumbling around. But like somehow in that scene, they like, you know, stood in the corner, like, you know, with their Nosferatu pose, this like completely silent and quiet until it was like, oh, the perfect time for me to jump and bite them in the neck. But yeah, he does that all the time.
Yeah. Zombies shouldn't be jump scares.
No. Again, it's like I don't understand, like, how did you not fucking hear a zombie? Like, you're in a tiny 10-foot square room. There's no way you didn't hear that fucker.
And what were the other six people in that room doing to not see that?
Right. It's like I'm saying, it's like, how the fuck are you people surviving?
Yeah. I could go on forever. Those are my low points. How about yours?
Of course CGI is on here. Now again, this is another film where I talked about they have unlimited bullets.
Mm-hmm.
They literally have unlimited bullets until it's a plot point when they don't.
Yes.
But like the National Guard people, like they're firing full auto. Like if you have an M16 and you're firing it at full auto, a full clip lasts you like 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It holds like 30 rounds. Like done. It's gone. The clip is now gone.
Yeah.
But they like they constantly shooting all over the fucking places. Like you don't have a trailer full of bullets behind you. Where the fuck are you getting all these bullets from? Like they were in the armored car. You could clearly see the floor of the armored car. There's no bullets laying around.
Correct.
And somehow they have like unlimited fucking bullets until at the end they're like, oh, it's plot device for me to run out of bullets now. I guess I will. Otherwise, I shot every other zombie with fully automatic weapons until this point. Just fucking stupid. I don't know. Romero doesn't get guns, is I think the whole thing. I don't get it. But like almost all of his movies, he doesn't do guns correctly.
Right.
Whatever. It's just a thing that I don't like. I already talked about the whole Seamus trying to fucking feed him and keep him alive, but then shoots him anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, but again, like you said, what the fuck does biting the horse mean? You know, and again, I'm like, I get, because I had to seriously think about it. Like, I had to like just stop, close my eyes and just kind of noodle it out. Like, what was he fucking thinking? Like, what is the thinking behind this? What would that mean? And that's what I got to, is that if she eats the horse, then all the zombies could eat the horse. And then I guess in his mind, he's going to think that they're only going to eat horse and not going to eat people anymore. Well, which again, is not a thing that's going
to
happen.
How many zombies did it take that he had pigs and stuff like that? So he trained one of 20 to bite a horse once. It's not going
to be fair. All the other zombies ate that horse after she took a bite out of it.
I guess.
I understand, like, the point he was trying to make about the zombies expanding their palate was a valid point. But that's not going to exclude people.
No.
You know, like, if you constantly, like, again, you're on an island. You don't have an unlimited supply of horses or cows or pigs or whatever you're going to get them to eat. Like, you're going to run out in, like, a day. And then all the livestock that you were going to eat, or the horses that you were going to ride around because you don't have gas for your cars, now they're all gone and the zombies are still there. Like, the original plan of killing all the zombies is a far better plan and far less complicated.
Well, their resources look like they only had the one horse and the one pig.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand what your fucking thought. Like, even if you, what you thought was going to happen succeeded 100%, which I guess technically it did.
Mm-hmm.
It still doesn't solve any problem. It doesn't solve anything. No. It's like, now they're going to eat your livestock as well as you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no such thing as like, oh, we'll just feed them our livestock. Like, where are you going to get it from? Like, if you trained them to eat grass, got it. Like that. Okay. Yeah. Problem solved. You just stick their face in the ground and they will just chew forever until they rot away.
Yeah.
That's got it. That's a solid plan. But like a horse dies and they eat all the meat and it's gone. Like, it's going to want to eat something else. The only thing left is people.
Yeah. It's not zombies go, oh, I just ate, I couldn't eat again.
Right. It's, I don't know. That's
they just
the whole logic of this. It's so bad. I had to think about it for a while to even try to understand what the point of that was. Yeah, that's it. That's all you got.
All right.
All right. You want to go first?
You can go first.
You can go first. All right. So, Survival of the Dead from 2010. I definitely like this less than Diary of the Dead. I'll give it a 3.8.
Also, it was better than Land of the Dead. Wow.
Slightly. Land of the Dead hurt me a lot. It hurt my feelings a lot. Like, it was like, you know, the original trilogy is like one of my favorite trilogies of all time. Like, I gave all of them near perfect tens.
Yep.
Right? All of them. They're fucking great. They're all great in their own way. And that movie came along and it's just a big steaming pile of shit. And they just rub it right on your face. And it's so fucking frustrating to me. Because at that point, I was already sick and tired of Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead. Everybody was fucking talking about how fucking great Shaun of the Dead was. I'm just like, shut up. It's like, it's not bad, but it's not the zombie movie. Like, I was like, you guys don't understand. There's been so many other zombie movies before this one. They're just parodying it. It's a joke. It's funny. Yeah, not a bad movie. No, but like, get over it. And then it was like, everybody, every time you say like Land of the Dead came up, they're like, oh my God, did you know that Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were like, shut the fuck up. Yes, I know. This drove me crazy. Again, being an OG zombie guy, when the fucking zombies hit the mainstream, like, yeah, I'm going to be an old man bitching because it really upset me, because it took one of my like favorite genres and made it like commercial, and I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, this Survival of the Dead hurt me a lot too. I'm just like, oh, like we had such a great episode last week to just such a huge twist and turn, downward spiral that this franchise by Romero did for this. It's sad. It really is. I have high hopes that Twilight of the Dead, when it eventually comes out, may be great. I don't know anymore at this point. I can't even fathom a guess where he could go, because he's had three damn near perfect films and three really bad films in this franchise. But I am going to go down to a 3 for Survival of the Dead. I don't think I need to ever watch this again. Ever.
No.
I don't think
twice is enough.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I love zombies. I really do. And this just, it hurts to see this. And I have high-ish hopes for a couple of what we're watching next week. So why don't you take us on out?
Have you seen any of the ones from next week?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, okay. So we have high hopes. What do you mean? Well, already seen them. You know how good they are.
Well, I'm just saying, in comparison, I've never done this close-knit of a comparison with all the zombie stuff.
Okay, so now that the official Romero of the Dead films are out of the way, let's bring in the remakes. So we start with the 1990 remake of the original Night of the Living Dead, directed by Tom Savini himself, with Romero's blessing. I believe Romero was even a producer on it.
Yes.
Yeah, but he wasn't involved in it. Savini was... did it all, but it is a retelling of the original story. We also have the Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead, which we mentioned a couple times already. Mm-hmm. So we'll get there. And the Day of the Dead remakes. Yes, there are two of them. Yes, they were both released direct to video, and no, I am not excited to watch them. And I thought one was a sequel of the other. They are not. They are both separate reboots of Day of the Dead, made by two completely different people, and they're totally unrelated.
Yes, because I believe the sequel, the actual sequel to Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, is Flight of the Dead.
There is another one?
There's Flight of the Dead.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Well, whatever. There's so many other deads, I don't know what's fucking connected or not. But the Day of the Dead remake, the Day of the Dead, the remake one, is so far away from the original script that somebody else made another one that was supposed to stick closer to the script. Mm-hmm. And that's what Bloodline is.
Yeah.
So the original, the Day of the Dead, all I heard was that the only like commonality it has is that towards the end, they end up in an underground base. That's it. Otherwise it is a totally different movie. And the second one I heard sticks closer to it, but I don't know. I've never seen either one of them. The other two I have seen.
Okay. Awesome.
But yeah, so remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked in the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.